We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we turn to James Holmes of the U.S. Naval War College to help us understand new technology in the U.S. Navy that is critical in the face-off with the adversaries in the Pacific and the Atlantic. This involves an aircraft, the FA-18 Super Hornet, and a new weapon for it. First, Jim, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. What is the Super Hornet? How is it used? Where is it? Good evening to you.
Hey, Gordon. Hi, John. Hi, John. Always great to be with you. The Super Hornet is it's basically been sort of the workhorse aircraft for carrier wings since about the mid 1990s. I don't remember exactly when it originated. It was an evolution out of the 1980s Hornet, F-18 Hornet, which was a predecessor for that. So it's an FNA, which means it's both a fighter and an attack aircraft. So it does air-to-air missions, and it also can attack targets on the surface, whether it's a hostile fleet or whether it's forces on land. So again, it's been sort of the standard platform for quite some time. It's starting to give way to stealth aircraft. The F-35C is a stealth platform. It looks like we'll have sort of a hybrid fleet, merging non-stealthy and stealthy platforms into an air wing for quite some time to come. But we're sort of in a time of transition.
So it's on the fleet now, and it's widely accepted as our premier combat plane off of a carrier. Is that correct, Professor?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look at Top Gun Maverick. I mean, that's exactly what Maverick had under his control. He alluded at the beginning of that film to the F-35, but it was making its way out to the fleet. But again, this has been the sort of the coin of the realm for a very long time at this point.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Jim, you talked about how the F-35 is being integrated into the Navy. I understand that there are actually some carriers, including the Ford, the newest carrier, that can't take the F-35. Is that right?
It is right to the extent that Congress actually stepped in and mandated that the next Ford class carrier actually be equipped from the outset to handle the F-35. Things were sort of happening at different velocities between building the carriers and actually building the F-35. There were a lot of uncertainties about the F-35's development. It had a very traumatic early life, but for whatever reason, the schedules just didn't sync up, and a lot of carriers are having to go back and be retrofitted for the F-35 now, including Carl Vinson, USS Carl Vinson, which is now doing the Rim of the Pacific exercise out in the Pacific, was one of the first to get the F-35.
Now we come to the new weapon that needs explaining, the AIM-174B. What is it, Jim?
Sure. It's an air-launched variant of a very successful missile that's been carried in the silos on board surface ships for quite some time, the SM-6. It's been, to me, the SM-6 has been one of the stars of the early competition with China and Russia and so forth. Simply because we were deeply outranged for a very long period of time. After the Cold War, we stopped upgrading our missile inventory. We went back to depending on very, very old short range missiles like the shipboard Harpoon. And to the extent that the Chinese Navy, as it built up, it was fielding missiles that outranged us by, you know, several multiples, three or four times, which means they get a lot of pot shots at us while we try to close the range to launch back. In 2015, 2016, the SM-6 was actually repurposed for surface-to-surface missions, meaning that it can now attack ships. That was a real game changer, and it got us back into the game. That's what's been added to the F-18's panoply of weaponry now. So in effect, looking at the current standard missile, the advanced medium range air to air missile, you're looking at almost a threefold, probably a threefold increase in range, and that's a big deal because it increases the the footprint of the carrier air wing around the ship extends us, lets us penetrate into hostile airspace for, while remaining more or less at a safe distance. Something that is going to help even up the competition with China in the Western Pacific.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Jim, with the increased range of the SM-6 on the Super Hornet, are we still at a disadvantage with regard to China in terms of range, or is it just a negligible difference now?
No, it's pretty good enough for fleet on fleet engagements. Now the pushback on that is, of course, China still has its inventory of shore based aircraft, shore based anti ship cruise missiles, and anti ship ballistic missiles, which can reach out hundreds, if not a couple of thousands miles offshore. In the case of the DF-26 anti ship ballistic missiles, so that problem is still there. But in fleet on fleet combat, I'm feeling pretty good. I will say that my friends who are still in uniform, they seem fairly comfortable about the shore-based anti-ship ballistic missile threat and so forth, especially looking at how we've been able to cope with that threat in the Red Sea against the Houthis in recent months. So I'm no longer a technical specialist in weapons, but the people who are seem to be comfortable that we're in a pretty good place.
The stories are that in the Second War, the Navy had a submarine torpedo it really, really had worked on for many years and deployed into the fleet, that did not work, that was often dud-like or missed in 1942 into 43. And the Navy was very reluctant to acknowledge the complaints of the submarine crews. Is that culture all solved, what, 80 years later, Jim?
Yeah, John. I think the answer is no, and I don't think it's something specific to the United States Navy. I think it's just big institutions, bureaucratic institutions, or even private companies and whatnot. They have defensive instincts. They don't like bad press, and they are very reluctant to admit to frailties of any kind. You're talking about the Mark 14 torpedo, which actually had a detonator, which it could contact a ship's hull. Or it could detect the ship's magnetic field and explode when it did that. Both of those failed. The Navy was very slow to acknowledge that and correct it. And it did potentially stretch out the Pacific War by many months. If you ask historians of the submarine campaign in that war, but sure. I mean, it's a big institutions. They tend not to admit their mistakes, and I think that's something just etched into them.
Is there any indication that the AIM 174B is experiencing resistance?
No, I think it seems like a proven missile. That's one reason that, in a sense, the campaign in the Red Sea has been a proving ground. It has actually proved out. It's basically proved that our stuff basically works the way it's advertised, including the SM-6, which has had its first combat use in that campaign against missiles that, although not nearly the same volume that the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, could put out, it is the same types of missiles and flight profiles and whatnot. So, gives us a pretty good indicator that this is something that works, and if it can intercept a ballistic missile, it can certainly strike a surface platform, which is obviously maneuvering much more slowly.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Jim, we've obviously learned a lot about the combat in the Red Sea. Have our adversaries also learned about the SM-6 and our other measures, or are we still ahead in this game of trying to find out what's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, competition and warfare—it's a constant process. It's a constant back and forth process. And when one side does something, the other side will eventually adapt and interact and try to one up it. So I think for now we are in a good place. But I mean, look at the Russia-Ukraine war. A lot of the things that worked well against Russian forces early on, the Russians have figured out how to use various measures to counteract them, whether it's electronic warfare or decoys or whatnot. So again, it's just that back and forth action versus interaction versus counter interaction. So it's just a constant struggle to see who's going to gain strategic advantage and one up the other side. But for right now, I feel pretty good. We'll see what the red teams have to offer in the future.
Your article in the National Interest indicates that the AIM-174B will be tested at the RIMPAC exercises. What does that mean? We're showing it off?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the scuttle, but I don't have any specific guidance. But the fact that they let this plane carrying this missile from the carrier that's taking part in that exercise be photographed and the photograph to actually go out into the public, I think that was a pretty strong hint. There are upsides. I would say they would probably test it under constrained conditions, not show its full capabilities, but show that it can basically do what it is advertised as doing. There's going to be a number of ships sunk, old decommissioned ships sunk as part of that exercise. I wouldn't be surprised to see it tested in that capacity. I will say that it's already been proven to be able to sink a surface combatant. It was tested against an old decommissioned frigate back in the 2016 timeframe, so we know it can be a ship breaker. The only real lingering question is, can you do it from the air? And I think the answer must be yes, given all the testing that's gone into that program.
Jim Holmes, writing at the National Interest about a new weapon system on the F/A-18. James Holmes is the first holder of the Wiley Chair of Maritime Strategy at the Naval War College. He blogs at the Naval Diplomat. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.